Gospel for today is from Luke. We are in the 23rd chapter. The assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man perverting our nation, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jewish people?" He answered, "You say so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man." But they were insistent and said, "He serves up the people by teaching throughout all Judea from Galilee, where he began, even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. Herod questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then they put an elegant robe on him, sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before that, they were enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is perverting the people. And here I have examined him in your presence, and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he's done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted out together, "Away with this fellow, release Barabbas for us." This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed him again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify, crucify him." A third time he said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him, made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed Jesus, and among them were women who were beating their chests and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he's the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jewish people, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanged there kept deriding Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation. And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise." It was now about noon. Darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said, "Certainly this man was innocent." And when all the crowds had gathered there for the spectacle, saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their chests. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching all these things. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. There really isn't much much more to say. We just heard our processional gospel where Jesus comes into the temple, comes into our lived experience, and we marched in with him. We just had this gospel reading from 23, same book, Luke, where we hear about the crucifixion. And next week in Holy Week, we will take the slow walk with Jesus to the cross. And at some point, as we know ourselves, we will walk away. So we've heard the story of Christ. There isn't much more for us to say. So maybe all we can really do at this point is give thanks. Dwell in our joy. And when I say joy, I don't mean fleeting happiness. I don't mean that fake it till you make it, you know, smile and make everybody think that you're doing great all the time. I'm not talking about that quick, fleeting, momentary stuff that happens in our lives, maybe when we get a nice gift, but then the next day we forget. We're talking about joy. The kind of joy that the crowds have when they see Jesus coming from a distance and they start ripping their coats off and laying them on the ground because they see their king is approaching. The kind of joy that you and I know when we are preparing ourselves to walk with Christ towards the cross on Holy Week, knowing even as we do that, that we will abandon him. The kind of joy that can only be known when we come through an ordeal, when we overcome what's been breaking us down. The kind of joy that only comes when we have hard-earned tears and long, weary years. The kind of joy that comes when we've had to endure medical and political bureaucracies and red tape that keep us from the things that we need to sustain ourselves. Joy, which helps us to stand again, even when our bodies won't let us, when our knees creak and our backs are just not going to do it. Joy. Joy that we get from Jesus. It is a peace from Christ. It's beyond anything we can create or achieve on our own. It can only come from God. Joy. It's rooted in the cross. It's rooted in the trials of life. It comes from a manger that it was full of filth and stink. It comes from a landscape that's marked by war, distrust, borders, barriers, fences, walls, whatever we need to keep ourselves divided from each other, and Jesus tears it down. Joy. It comes out of deathbeds. It crawls out of caves. It comes from beyond cemeteries. It comes from the other side of the tracks. It comes for us even from behind heavy stones that you and I can't turn ourselves. Joy. Luke, our gospel writer, loves the concept of joy. In our four gospels, Luke is really about the only one who tells us that one of the best responses we can have to encountering the presence of God is to rejoice. Even Jesus, you know, Jesus, that guy who, even though he was only about 30 years old when he died, we sometimes imagine him being 60, 70, 80 because he's, you know, he's wise. He's a rabbi. He's seen it. He's done it. He's been there. He knows everything. He's the Son of God. He's been there since the beginning of creation. How would anything impress him? And yet in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 10, Jesus rejoices when he witnesses the power of God moving through his disciples. Even when he knows that he is on his way already to Jerusalem and a cross that at that moment was being carved out to fit him. Joy is a relief in knowing that God is here. Joy is that small voice in the back of our minds that reminds us that we still need to breathe even when we are in the midst of a panic attack. Joy is the sense that no matter what this world has to offer, Jesus already has us. Joy comes because Jesus comes. Jesus is one of us. Jesus comes to be with us, which means he knows us. He knows all our fears. He knows all our thoughts. Yeah, even those thoughts. Jesus knows all of our dread. He knows all our worry. He knows all our doubt. He knows our prison bars. He knows our impenetrable walls. He knows our isolation, our guilt, our shame, our sin. He knows our exhaustion, and still he comes for us. It's no wonder the crowds can't help themselves. They've got to take their coats off. When they see Jesus coming, even from a distance, they throw him on the ground because, quite frankly, they don't need their coats anymore. They've got Jesus. He's here. All those long nights are over. All those endless prayers that we have been offering to God for sometimes years being fulfilled in the presence of Christ who comes to us. This is a new day because Christ has come. Jesus is here. He's claiming his space. He's claiming us as his chicks who he will shelter. He's bringing his good news to the poor, to the captive, the blind, the oppressed, and those who are bound up in their debt. Jesus is coming to reveal his kingdom, and the crowds are flowing, and they're crying out because they are full of joy. And we get to stay in that joy, even if only for about 60 minutes for a worship service. And I know, it feels a little premature talking about joy. We're not to Easter yet. We're just entering into Holy Week now. We know Jesus will be leading us by Thursday to a meal, our last meal with him, and then he will be arrested. We know that on Friday, he will be tried, convicted, and crucified. We know that next Saturday, during our Easter vigil, as we gather here in the dim light of candles and we hear stories about what God can do, we will feel stuck. Because we know the promise that's coming in Easter, it's only hours away, and yet in our lived experience, that's how we experience faith. We know what God can do, but we're still here. But we can't get to Easter without getting through Holy Week. We can't get to the resurrection without going through the cross. So Jesus will lead us to the cross. And yet with all of that still in front of us, and we know what's coming, still, we are encouraged, we are invited by God to celebrate and have joy in expectation that even in our sorrow, there will be peace. Even when we are trapped in our suffering, there will be relief. When we are stuck in a tomb and we can't find our way out again, Jesus brings life. Joy comes through the troubles. Joy comes through loneliness. Joy comes through frustration, anger, even righteous indignation at the way this world is going. What our prayers may be, Jesus responds. Joy is knowing that God hears us. Joy is knowing that God responds, and that God responds by sending Christ to us, who is more than we can possibly imagine. Jesus is going to lead us this week, and we will bear witness. We will fall in behind like the procession that we just experienced right now. We will live that out throughout this week. At some point, we will fall away. Or we may be like the women in Luke, and we will stand off at a distance and bear witness to all that happens. And still Jesus comes. Because Jesus loves us, and Jesus keeps bringing new life. And you know, beyond joy, simply celebrating and relishing joy for a few minutes in our lives, beyond that, there isn't much more we can do today. There isn't much more we can say. Because Christ is here. He's in this space. He's amongst us, sitting by us this morning. He's in our lives. He's in these streets. He's in this community. He's out there in the snow. He's revealing the kingdom of God, and he's leading us every day back to life, back to rejuvenation, back to hope. That, brothers and sisters, that is our good news. And that is worthy of our praise. Amen.